Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we recite together the Apostles' Creed and then remain standing as we offer up prayers this morning. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sorry, remain standing. Old habits. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've called us into this moment of worship for the storms and routines of life to hear your word and to know your peace. We pray, still our anxious minds, open our hearts to your presence, and make us one body in Christ. We invite your Holy Spirit to fill this place. We continue to lift up before you the people of Texas, whose lives have been torn apart by deadly floods. Comfort those who mourn. Give strength to the rescuers and peace to the anxious. Provide shelter, aid, and hope. And let the waters of chaos recede and let your healing flow. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated now. Looking into the Gospel of Mark, starting in chapter 4, verse 35. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, which is in the back, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, waves, quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this guy?" This is fairly new in Jesus' ministry, and they're still learning about him. And they're like, "Who is this guy that the winds and the storms would listen to him and obey him?" It's a question we all need to answer this very day. Who is Jesus? Is he God, or is he just a man? If he's just a man, you got nothing to worry about. If he's God, there's some decisions that need to be made. Reminds of a preacher I saw online this last week. I was looking for it this morning. I couldn't find it yet, so I can't give him credit. But he was saying, you know, life is fairly simple. Either you're healthy or you're sick. If you're healthy, you have nothing to worry about. If you're sick, you have two things to worry about. Are you going to get better, or are you going to die? If you get better, you have nothing to worry about. If you die, you have two things to worry about. Are you going to go to heaven, or are you going to go to hell? If you go to heaven, you got nothing to worry about. If you go to hell, you got two things to worry about: regular or extra crispy. That was pretty funny. Anyway, the headlines of this last week have been hard to read. You know, flood waters rising across Texas with terrifying speed. Children swept from campgrounds, homes destroyed. Mothers and fathers calling names in the night, praying for answers, and some never found them. In the face of such suffering, a question rises that is as old as faith itself. Where is God when the waters of life rise? You know, water is a powerful force. In small amounts, it's a wonderful drink. You can play around and cool off. But in massive amounts, it is unbelievably powerful. I remember we were in Hawaii some years ago, and I was standing in the ocean. I'm not much of a swimmer. I just kind of stand splashing around. And there were some warning signs, you know, watch out for strong riptides or whatever. I don't know. I'm from Green Bay. What's a riptide? I have no idea. Anyway, so I'm just standing there with my back to the ocean. I don't see it coming, but this big yo mama wave comes and just hammers me. And my face is down in the water. Now, at the time, I had these really cool prescription sunglasses I just bought. And it's back before I got LASIK surgery. I used to look like a fly with really thick glasses, you know, had terrible eyesight. But so these were expensive glasses. And the glasses start to come off, and I quick reach up and grab them. And then all of a sudden, this incredible toe starts pulling. You know how sometimes you're standing and the waves come, you can feel it pulling. You should do it. And a massive amount is a huge, huge force. And it was like 10 people were trying to pull my pants off. And I'm hanging on to my pants because it's and my glass hanging on my glasses, and I had to make a decision. Do I lose hundreds of dollars or my dignity as I come out of the water naked as a jaybird? I decided rather quickly I could always buy a new pair of glasses. I cannot, however, get my dignity back. So I let the glasses go and held on. Finally let go. I was in Tennessee some years ago. I was with a bunch of friends, and we were hanging out on this farm. We were out like that for, we had buses and tents and stuff camping out for. Like, it was a month. It's a long story why we were out there so long. But anyway, to get back to the property, this is in Tennessee, outside of Nashville. You had to cross these dry creek beds to get back, you know, to where we were camping. And we went over those creek beds over and over and over and over again. Well, one day, it had been raining all day, not heavy rain, just drizzle. But like in Texas, what happens is you got all these hills, and as the water falls, it just runs down into one place, which are these creek beds, and the creek beds start to rise. And there's an old saying, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll be there. Why does it say that? Because if the creek rises, you ain't going anywhere. I was new to the concept. All I know is I was trying to get into town. It's dark. It's night. You can't see. There's no clouds. There's nothing but clouds. No sun. No stars. No lights. No nothing. And I pull up to the creek bed, and I'm looking, and the lights are hitting from this pickup truck, and you know, you couldn't see anything. So, what's the worst thing that could happen? So I back up, and I hammer the accelerator. I just want to plow to the other side, get through the creek bed. Well, about halfway through the creek bed, the engine dies because the water got up inside the distributor cap and it killed it. Oh, man. And I look up, and I see the land moving. I thought, wait a minute, land doesn't move. I was moving. I had skimmed along the water like a hot rock, and now it is carrying me downstream. And I freaked, and I tried to open the door. I couldn't open it. Good thing, if I was strong enough to open it, the water would have rushed in and pinned me and probably killed me. So I rolled down the window and climbed up on top of the truck, and I started pacing back and forth, which is a pretty short trip because it's just the top of the truck. I said, well, what do I do? Maybe I'll swim for it. And I thought, first of all, I'm not a very good swimmer, but if it's carrying a truck, it'll do a number to me. And I don't know, I just stood there and then realized I was heading for a dam. And I thought, oh, no. But just before the dam, there's a big bend in the creek, thank God, and built up enough steam that when we got to the bend, it kept going forward, bumped up against a tree, which I hugged very dearly, And I slid down into the water. It was about up to my chest. And then I'm thinking, water moccasins, you know, these poisonous snakes. I think, I don't want to die in Tennessee. So I slowly climb out of this water, just dripping wet mud everywhere. And finally went back to where we were all and got some help. When they say, Lord willing, and a creek to arise, they're not kidding. But water is powerful, man. I'm telling you. It can pick things up, wipe complete things out. It's a powerful force. That very night, there was a guy down further that did get killed. And why did he die? But I didn't die. You know, I don't like to think the grace of God in my case. When we hear of a person dying, or two or three dying, you know, we don't think too much about it. But when a bunch of people all die at once in a flood, in an earthquake, in a plane crash, in a war, we tend to panic and fear fills our minds and we wonder, well, where is God? But all that changes there is just the number. The reality is, and I say this in no way to minimize these disasters because they are horrible. But the reality is, people die all the time. I was looking online. I found out that approximately 8,470 people die every day in America, just in America. 8,500 yesterday, 8,500 today. It'll be 8,500 tomorrow that'll die, and on and on. People die all the time for all kinds of reasons. Sickness. Would you understand the accidents? That's just oops. Falling off a ladder or grabbing something you shouldn't grab or not paying attention to something. Fatal car accidents. People die on those all the time. You know, one of the major reasons for fatal car accidents? People dozing off while they're driving. That's it. All of a sudden you just get a little micro of, like some of you when I'm preaching. And you kind of doze off, and boom, you're dead. Horrifying. I saw the statistic. On average, 700 people die every day in America. Every day, 700 people died. Yesterday, 700 will die today, tomorrow another, in hospitals, just because of mistakes. Oops. Shocking. You think one of the safest places in the world to be would be a hospital, right? But those of you who've been involved in taking care of people in sickness and hospitals know you got to pay attention, man. You got to advocate. You got to advocate. You got to speak up all the time. Why? People make mistakes. My wife, Debbie, almost died a couple of times in hospitals. One time she went in for chemotherapy. Somebody gave her the wrong stuff, almost killed her. They had to rush her to the ICU unit. She was there for days as they're pulling her back from the edge of death, all from oops. Somebody made a mistake, you know. Deanna, she's coming to the second service, but you know, her dad has been in the hospital and stuff, and she's been watching out for him. What happens is, you know, they'll write something in the chart, you know, don't give him this. Next nurse comes in and gives him that. And you say, what? What the heck? And he said, I'm sorry, I didn't read the chart. That's all it takes. People die all the time, even when you think it's absolutely safe. We are mortals in a mortal world. And, of course, the big question is why? You can find the answer in Genesis, the third chapter, verse 22. Well, starting at 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife. And clothing. This is after Adam and Eve sinned, did what they weren't supposed to do. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. But to this time, they were completely innocent. And God says, he must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. So think about this. If Adam and Eve had taken of the tree of life, they would have lived forever. There would have been no such thing as sickness, no such thing as cancers, no such things as diseases or maladies, and we wouldn't have to fear, oops. And no human would ever have to suffer and die if he would have let him eat of the tree. And God said, we got to get him out of here. So he doesn't do that. Why? Because God made the decision to keep us mortal. Because by keeping us mortal, he made us fixable and redeemable. You see, if we would have taken of the tree of life, it would have become an eternal being locked in an eternal state of sin and a fallen state. That's why, that's the status of angels. And people sometimes say to me, how come the angels don't repent? They can't. They are eternal stuck in this rebellion that they made. And if we'd have taken, if Adam and Eve would have taken of the tree of life, we would have been in that condition. By the way, this mortality is temporary. We're all going to become eternal beings, everybody. The only question is, where are you going to go, right? You either die in a state of grace and forever locked into the grace of God, or in a state of sin and rebellion against God and forever in darkness. That's why it's so important for us to make sure we die in grace. In our scripture text this morning, we see Jesus says to the guys, come on, let's go to the other side, and the disciples follow. And then comes this windstorm. Now, the Sea of Galilee is known for this, calm one moment and violent the next. Kind of like life, right? One day things are fine. The next day a phone call, a diagnosis, a tragedy, a flood. Suddenly you're in a boat that feels like it's going down. The disciples wake Jesus up, not gently, but in a panic. And they say to him, teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? Can we be honest? That's a question a lot of people ask, right? God, don't you care? Don't you care that I'm suffering? Don't you care that I'm having a difficult time? Because right away we go to the darkest place, assuming God doesn't care, but God always cares. Jesus is in the boat right with them. And the good news is he's always in our boat, no matter what we're going through. Jesus gets up, yells out to the storm, peace be still. Just like that, the wind stops. The sea is calm. The chaos obeys. Not because the disciples did the right thing. Not because they had perfect faith, because they didn't. Just simply because Jesus is there and he's Lord over everything, even over the storms. After calming the storm, Jesus asks, why are you afraid? Which I think is hilarious. Why? Because we thought we were going to die. Now, these are not casual boaters. These are men, some of them had lived their entire lives on that body of water. They think they're going to die. This is the worst storm they have ever experienced. And he says to them, why were you afraid? It's a good thing I wasn't there. He'd have killed me a long time ago. What do you mean, why? Didn't you see the storm? We just need to remember that Jesus is always with us. His presence is not changed by the size of the waves. It's like when we have small problems, we don't have problems praying about them. When we got medium problems, it becomes a little hard. When we got huge problems, it seems like we can't pray at all because the storms are so big. But nothing changes. God is still God. He's always there. And I love they asked, who is this guy? They don't just get a calm sea that day. They get a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. Jesus did not prevent the storm. He could have, but he doesn't. In fact, Jesus tells us, you know, in this life, you'll have a lot of trouble. And when we get trouble, we're shocked. Why? Well, because you're in this life. You're in this mortal state. You're in this mortal temporary state, which is really the grace of God. Every time somebody dies, it's a reminder how much God cared enough to keep us fixable. Because that's why he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of the world, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He still does this stuff today. Even when things are looking awful, even when there is great loss and people die, because people will die. We all will die. 100 years from now, none of us will be here. Some of us, it'll be a lot quicker than 100. I'm not at the end yet, but I can see the light from here. Life is short. To those who are grieving in Texas, he's still there. To those facing storms right now of illness, addiction, divorce, or depression, he's still here. When our faith feels fragile, he speaks, "Peace be still." Your boat may be battered today. The storms may seem louder than your prayers, and it seems like it's hard to pray because the waves are so big, but you're not alone. Jesus is not far off. He's in your boat. He may not stop every storm when you ask, and at some point we all leave this place, but he'll never leave you to face it alone. As believers, we know he's always with us. Jesus says, "I'll always be with you, even to the very end of the age." The presence of Christ is our peace, even when the waves rock the boat. Who is this guy? He's Jesus, God in the flesh. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Our Savior, our Comforter, our Protector, who still speaks, "Peace, be still." Amen. We're going to celebrate our time of communion now. The ushers are going to get ready to serve us. So when we reflect on why we're here because of what Jesus did on that cross 2,000 years ago as he reached out in a mortal state for mortal people, so that we could be saved from the sins that were set to doom us for eternity. His body was broken, his blood was shed. Jesus said, "Whenever you do this in remembrance of me." And he said, "Whenever you do this, examine yourself first." He did say, Paul the Apostle said, "Whenever you do this, you should pause and examine yourself, because this is a holy thing that we do right now." So with those words in mind, let's bow our heads as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we have sinned against you, something that we did that we shouldn't have done, something that we supposed to have done but we didn't do, if we've not loved our neighbors as we love ourselves, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray, have mercy on us and forgive us of all of our sins. And while heads are bowed and people are reflecting, maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking, you know, I've never really experienced what you guys are talking about this morning, what you're singing about, what you're celebrating, what you're preaching about. But you can right now, in your own words, just whisper to Jesus. Say, "Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of all of my sins." And he will take the weight of the world, all your guilt, off of you. And you can start your new life of faith with us here this morning. Amen.